For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Welcome.
Good morning.
So, having been talking a lot about the koans from Dongshan, about the practice of suchness, I'm feeling more and more connected to these stories, these old teaching stories, and I've been starting to study the Dogen's koan collection. For those of you who know it, the Heikoroku Dogen's extensive record, volume 9, he has 90 of them, with his own verse commentary. And I want to talk about one of those today. Just to say that these teaching stories and the commentary about them are not riddles or puzzles or anything that you have to figure out or even understand. But just allow, and especially for people sitting here all day today, allow bits of them to just settle in you or inform you or run through your head if you'd like. But this story is the 46th of the 90th in Dogen's collection. And it's about a teacher named Langya, who was in the Linji or Rinzai lineage in the 900s in China. A monk asked Langya, "How does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth?" Langya said, "How does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth?" So that's the whole story. Langya responded with the same words, but not the same. How does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth? Indeed. Where does all of this come from? What's this purity business? Maybe it could also be read as fundamental clarity. Again, the point of these stories is not to get some understanding. It's not that they're nonsense and cannot be understood, but really, what do these images say about our practice here today? So Dogen wrote a verse commentary. "Spring pine, autumn chrysanthemum, follow the time and season. Covering earth and sky, the mirror manifests emptiness. The bamboo shadow swept away, dust piles high. The moon pierces the deep pool, dissolving together." Sishin poem. Again, spring pine, autumn chrysanthemum, follow the time and season. Covering earth and sky, the mirror manifests emptiness. What is this mirror he's referring to? Where's the end of it? Where does it start? The bamboo shadow swept away, dust piles high. Shadow might be very thin. Somebody's sweeping it away. Dust piles high, so we'll have a period of temple cleaning to try and take care of some of the dust a little later. The moon pierces the deep pool, dissolving together. So the moon dissolves into the water. Does the pool also dissolve? Do we dissolve? Spring pine, autumn chrysanthemum, follow the time and season, covering earth and sky. The mirror manifests emptiness, covering everything. The bamboo shadow swept away, dust piles high. The moon pierces the deep pool, dissolving together. This same story happens to also be case number 100 out of the 100 koans in the Book of Serenity, which is the collection of stories and verses chosen by Hongzhe Zhongzhui, who was an important Soto teacher a century before Dogen in China. Very prolific, like Dogen, very eloquent. He talked about serene illumination meditation. And so that he chose this story to be the last case in the Book of Serenity, the last story. And in the Book of Serenity, there's not only Hongzhe's cases that he selected, as Dogen does, in his and Hongzhe's verse, but there's also a long commentary introducing it and commenting on the case and commenting on Hongzhe's verse by a later teacher named Wansong, who lived in China, as contemporary of Dogen, a little bit younger. So I'm going to start with his introduction to this story. One word can cause a nation to flourish. One word can cause a nation to perish. This drug can kill people and can bring people to life, too. The benevolent, seeing this, call it benevolence. The wise, seeing this, call it wisdom. But tell me, where does the benefit or harm lie? So, there's two different ways of saying this saying. And this drug can kill my people and can bring people back to life, too. So we know that if you take a good medicine, if you take too much of it, that can be fatal. How do we see medicine in the world? Where is the healing? How is this helpful? So that's the introduction again to the story. The monk asked Lanya, how does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth? And Lanya said, how does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth? So there's some things in the commentary. There's this kind of folklorish kind of magical introduction that Lange's teacher was named Fenyang, a very important teacher in the Linji lineage. All of the lineage is descended from him. And he also, Dogen points out that he also originated the evening gatherings, which is a little bit like what we do in the afternoon on all day sittings, just getting together and talking. And Fenyang was going to stop them because it was bitter cold up north where they lived. But somehow an Indian monk arrived there flying on the clouds and exhorted him not to miss this opportunity. And he said, though this congregation is not large, six of these people are great vessels, and their path will give shelter to humans and divines. And amongst them was this guy Lang Yao. And there's another story about Lang Yao that they tell, that he had been from Luoyang, and his father was the governor there, the governor of Hongyang, and I'm not sure about these places, maybe Paul knows where they are, but anyway, when the father died, he carried the casket back to Luoyang. As he was passing through Li province on the way, he climbed up to the ancient monastery on Yaoshan to behold it and pay respect. Yaoshan was the teacher who was asked about how does he think about not thinking. He said, beyond thinking. And he was the teacher of Yunyan, the teacher of Dongshan. He said, you should know there's one who's not busy. Anyway, this guy later, Lang Yao, climbed up to the ancient monastery on Yashan to behold him and pay respect. And as he looked where he was going, it was just like it had been a former abode of his. Because of this, he left home and became a monk. So, reading that, a couple of you have been to Tassajara Monastery in California, where I trained for a few years, and Jeremy and Yozan, if you imagine going out the far door from Zendo and looking up at those, at the line of those mountains, I'm sure if I happen to get there in a next life, I will recognize them. And it seems like Longya recognized this place. Anyway, that's just, these stories. Hongzhe himself wrote a first comment on this story. How does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth? And Hongzhe's verse goes, seeing existence without considering it existent, turning the hand over and back. The man on Mount Longya does not fall behind Gotama, the Buddha. So, this turning the hand over and back, or seeing existence without considering it existent, without holding on to some idea that this is fundamental reality, the fundamental purity. What's going on there? One of the comments by Wonsong, he quotes Nagarjuna, our great 14th ancestor, who is an ancestor of all of Buddhism after him. And he said, all things must exist because of all causes and conditions. All things must not exist because of all causes and conditions. This is turning the hand over and back. So here we are, or are we? How does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to mountains, rivers, Lake Michigan, the Great Earth, Irving Park Road, a room full of people just sitting? So, I wanted to follow up Hongzhe's verse with some other writings by Hongzhe. He was very important to Dogen and to all later Soto Zen, and I translated some of his practice instructions in a book called Cultivating the Empty Field. And I thought I'd read a few selections that have to do with this, how does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to mountains, rivers, and the great earth. So Hongzhe talks in other writings in Shan or Zen, we talk about the source. My name Taigen means ultimate source. Although there's different kinds of sources, that's the source of a spring in the water. So Jeremy's name is Shingen, same Gen. Dogen's Gen was a different word for source. But they're talking about, what this is talking about is not like some temporal historical source, not some creator, deity, or principle. It's the source right now. What's allowing us to take the next inhale? As our thoughts and feelings rumble around as we sit here today. Where does this come from? This monk asked Longya, how does fundamental purity suddenly give rise? And Longya said, how does fundamental purity suddenly give rise? So I wanted to look at some other things that Hongzhe says about this. So these are hogo, or we could say practice instructions, but they're kind of words of encouragement. They speak to people who have this sense of zazen. And again, don't worry about understanding anything. Listen for something that speaks to you. Those who produce descendants are called ancestors. Where the stream emerges is called the source. After beholding the source and recognizing the ancestors, before your awareness can disperse, be steadfast and do not follow birth and death or past conditioning. If you do not succumb, then all beings will show the whole picture. Wake up, and in turn, the ground, the moon, and the dust are clearly cast off. So Dogen says, the dust pile high. And the covering earth and sky, the mirror manifests emptiness. Hongzhi here says, after beholding the source and recognizing the ancestors, before your awareness can disperse, be steadfast. Do not follow birth and death or past conditioning. If you do not succumb, then all beings will show the whole picture. Wake up, and in turn, the ground, the trees, and the dust are clearly cast off. Although empty of desires, with deliberations cut off, transcendent comprehension is not all sealed up. Perfect, bright understanding is carefree amid 10,000 images and cannot be confused. Within each dust mode is vast abundance. In 100,000 samadhis, or concentrations, all gates are majestic, all dharmas are fulfilled. Still, you must gather them together and bring them within. To reach the time-honored, return to the source, serve the ancestors, join together into unity, scrutinize yourself, and go on. So how do we return to the source? How do we see this arising of thoughts and feelings and mountains and rivers? To reach the time honored, return to the source and then just serve the teaching. Join together into unity, scrutinize yourself, and then go on. So we have a chance, as we sit period after period, of joining together into unity. Feeling the wholeness and the completeness of just this suchness. Then he says, scrutinize yourself, or Dogen says, to study the ways to study the self. Pay attention. What's going on? If you're sleepy, how is it that you're sleepy? If your mind is rolling around, how is it that your mind... If lots of feelings are come up, if you're in touch with your basic sadness or concern, sense of loss or fear, feel that. How does it feel? And then go on. Take another breath. When the bell rings, stand up for walking meditation or whatever. Another of Hongzhi's writings about this. All Buddhas and every ancestor, without exception, testify that they all arrive at this refuge where the three times, past, present, and future, cease, and the 10,000 changes are silenced. Straight ahead, unopposed by the smallest atom, the inherently illumined Buddha spirit subtly penetrates the original source. So this is this refuge is where past, present, and future just cease. This is not about some source back there in the past or up there in the future. Just here, just this, here today. The 10,000 changes can become silent. Straight ahead, unopposed by the smallest atom, the inherently illumined Buddha spirit subtly penetrates the original source. When recognized and realized exhaustively, this spirit shares itself and responds to situations. So this is not like being sitting like a Zen zombie. This is not about being uncaring or unaware. When recognized and realized exhaustively, the spirit shares itself and responds to situations. How do we respond to what's in front of us? How do we respond to our own thoughts and feelings and fears and loss and so forth? The gates sparkle, and all beings behold the gleaming. Then they understand that from within this place, fulfilled self flows out. The hundreds of grass tips all around never are imposed as my causes and conditioning. The whole body from head to foot proceeds smoothly. From within this place, fulfilled self flows out. So when we can settle and keep breathing and paying attention, but slow down, calm. Within this place, this source that's right here now, fulfilled self flows out. And actually, so this practice is about finding that, not just finding it, but allowing the expression of this fulfilled self. And maybe it changes it from time to time, from season to season, but here today. We can just feel this possibility of wholeness. Each of you, as you are, is complete. And your completeness includes, you know, all of your fears and frustrations and desires and aversion and all the stuff you think is not complete. What does it mean, this fulfilled self? How do you enjoy the fulfilled self that's hanging out on your cushion or chair right now? At the same time as fear, sadness, confusion, possibility of anger, so this practice is really pretty simple. We just sit and take another breath. It's not some special exotic thing that you have to do or accomplish. And yet, right in the middle of that, can you notice the fulfilled self? Can you enjoy it? Can you express it, share it? When the bell rings and we get up to walk or whatever, or when you go out into Chicago and into your life and all of the circumstances, all of the particular causes and conditions, all of the particular limitations and phenomena that are part of our everyday activity. So he says this really interesting thing here. Oh, it's like the wrong one. all Buddhist ancestors testify that they all arrive at this refuge where all the three times cease and the 10,000 changes are silenced. So, in the midst of all the thoughts and feelings and warmth or cool or whatever you're feeling, and aches in your knees or your back or wherever, as you sit here today, can you find this refuge, this safe place, this turning towards wholeness, turning towards Buddha, turning towards reality and community, where the 10,000 changes kind of quiet down? And then look there. So this way of practice is gentle. It's not about having some rigid, disciplined, edge of your seat attention. It's okay. If you have to move your legs, fine. Take another breath. How do we settle? How do we give ourselves that space to settle and see this listening gates in the middle of this? So fulfilled self is available right in the middle of all your problems. All of us have some problem. So I've quoted Suzuki Roshi talking about how he once said, the problem that you have right now, you will always have. Sorry. But, you know, sometimes some problems, you know, they just kind of fade away. We let go of them. And sometimes that happens. And if you ever get rid of all your problems, somebody else will come and give you theirs. So, you know, no end to settling into openness and then responsiveness from this. So, one more passage from Hongzhe about this. The field of bright spirit is an ancient wilderness that does not change. Again, this is talking about something that's changeless right within the changes. With boundless eagerness, wander around this immaculate, wide plain. Suzuki Roshi said, give your cow a wide pasture. Kind of the same. With boundless eagerness, wander around this immaculate, wide plain. The drifting clouds embrace the mountain. The family wind is relaxed and simple. Feel the refreshment. The autumn waters display the moon in its pure brightness. Directly arriving here, you will be able to recognize the mind-ground Dharma field that is the root source of the 10,000 forms germinating with unwithered fertility. Again, a description of some source that's right here. Directly arriving here, you will be able to recognize the mind-ground Dharma field that is the root source of the 10,000 forms germinating with unwithered fertility. These flowers and leaves are the whole world. So we are told that a single seed is an uncultivated field. Do not weed out the new shoots and the self will flower. Coming back to this mind-ground Dharma field, settling deeply into just being here. There's this resource that each of you has. Each of you is, or it is each of you. There is this deep source that allows your creative energy to arise. And how it arises is different for each person in this room. So this process of Zazen, this endless process of going beyond Buddha, of just allowing yourself to settle into the space of, you know, any words that I, descriptions that Hongzhi or Dogen or I give it is just, you know, just words. We use these images to point to something. This field of bright spirit, this ancient wilderness beyond changes. With boundless eagerness, wander around this immaculate, wide plain. So again, Longyan talked about fundamental purity. So the word immaculate is a way of talking about this, this immaculate, wide plain. Naturally, drifting clouds embrace the mountain. The family wind is relaxed and simple and refreshing. The autumn waters display the moon in its pure brightness. So that's like Dogen talking about covering earth and sky, the mirror manifests emptiness. Directly arriving here, recognize the mind ground Dharma field, the root source of all the 10,000 forms germinating with unwithered fertility. Again and again, we come back to being present and settling and taking another breath. And there's some unwithered fertility. There's something germinating here. And it's not something you have to figure out or find. Just allow, he says, the end of that. These flowers and leaves are the whole world. So we're told that a single seed is an uncultivated field. From one seed, many, many plants. Do not weed out the new shoots, and the self will flower. So allow the new sprouts from the space to come forth for each of you. Sometimes this happens in a given period of Zazen, sometimes it happens kind of without our seeing it, you know, in months of practice. Allow that creative energy to come forth. Pay attention. See how to respond to the world, how to be helpful to the world. Again, Wansong said, one word can cause a nation to flourish, one word can cause a nation to perish. This drug can kill people and can bring people to life, too. The benevolent seeing this, call it benevolence. The wise seeing this, call it wisdom. But tell me, where does the benefit or harm lie? So, as we allow these new shoots to flourish, as we allow our own creative energy to come forth, how do we use this for helpfulness? How do we not allow this to be harmful? Pay attention to how you express this unwithered fertility when it arises. See that deep space, that source of energy and creativity, vitality and dignity. And if you don't see it and you feel like, what's he talking about? What is this? You know, well, it's okay. Just stay with it. Take another breath. We don't always see this, you know. There are times when we are covered in weeds, covered in the difficulties of our life in the world. We recognize those. Where is this deep source? I would say it's under, right there underneath your cushion, underneath your chair. Deep, deep down. So another way to practice with this, I'll quote a poem I've talked about before by the great Chinese Zen adept and painter and musician, but best known to us as a poet named Wang Wei, who was actually contemporary with Dongshan, more or less. In my middle years, I've grown fond of the way. I head out from my hut on South Mountain and look for sights that only I can see. I follow the stream back to the source and sit and wait for the time when clouds arise. Perhaps I meet a person of the woods, another wayfarer. We talk and laugh, and I forget to go home. So just the lines in the middle there, follow the stream back to the source and sit, and wait for the time when clouds arise. And if you can't quite get back quite all the way to the source, you know, it's okay to stop and sit on the side of the stream anywhere along there. And, you know, maybe you'll see clouds arise. I actually did this once when I was living in Tassajara. There was a side stream upstream from Tassajara. There was a little stream that this robbery, we walked back up the stream to try and get to the source. I can't remember if we got there or not. Anyway, you can do that as you're sitting, follow the stream back to the source, and then just sit and watch the time when the clouds arise or something arises. So thank you all very much. Some of us are here for the day and we'll have more opportunity to settle into this source. Some of you have joined us for the talk. Welcome. Because of that, we'll have, for the people who are here all day, we'll have some time for discussion a little later, but in the afternoon. But if anyone has, you know, one or two comments or questions now, please feel free. Any responses? Yes, Dan.
You gave a definition of the ancestor, and I
didn't. Well, not that I did, you're asking what the ancestors are? Well, in this tradition, you know, Hongzhe and Dogen and Bodhidharma and Suzuki Roshi and Shakyamuni Buddha. So there's a lineage of that. And many side shoots. Hongzhe is not exactly my lineage, he's kind of an uncle. But also, who are your ancestors? Who, genetically, but also spiritually, not just in terms of the Soto Zen lineage, which is wonderful, and all these old stories, but also, you know, who inspires you? So, Miriam, as a musician, just name somebody who inspires you from the past.
A musician?
Yeah.
Oh, Bach is, you know.
Oh.
There's one of them, there's Bach.
Bach is not frivolous. Bach is, that's for me too. I'm not a musician, but yes, he's one of my ancestors. What would the world be like without Bach? I don't know. It's hard to imagine.
I was going to say something.
Please.
You know, I'm very hard of hearing, so please excuse me if I say something that sounds totally ridiculous. Oh, and you were saying about the how out of fundamental purity arises the mountain. Well, not today, we have a clue. But this week, my husband and I had a rather such a privilege in our eyes that we were able to watch on our walk, the birds on a caterpillar, a butterfly mountain giving birth. It took almost an hour, and then sort of this is like a little mini piece of that great question. But when you look, you say, how can this little sticky worm ever become a butterfly? So it's kind of like science tries to tell us, but it still remains a mystery that's very, very profound.
So you actually saw a caterpillar become a butterfly?
The little larva getting born out of the butterfly mother.
Oh, the butterfly giving birth to life.
The butterfly is giving birth to
The next caterpillar.
Well, I mean, that's very hard for me to know how loudly I'm speaking.
No, it's fine. I can
hear. It was just the most incredible miracle. And so, in a way, it's a little teeny piece of that question, I think.
Yes, unwithered fertility. So you're reminding me one time when I was Shisoa Tassajara, and I was sitting facing the front open door, and it was springtime. It was sort of towards the end of the practice period. And in front of the walkway there, there's a bed of flowers, and the irises hadn't bloomed yet, but they were there. And I was, over three periods of zazen, I was sitting, the kinjin in between, I was sitting, looking out that door, and I saw an iris open. And the first petal, very slowly. And the second petal after that. And then the third. And, you know, when you're paying attention, you can see things. So, any other testimony or questions or responses? Time for one more. Yes, Brian.
The line is that kept the refrain was out of pure. What is it?
The original story is, how does fundamental purity suddenly give rise to the mountains, rivers, and the great earth?
I'm wondering if that's another way of saying or asking, how does what's the relationship between emptiness and form? How does form emerge out of emptiness?
Okay. We might gloss it that way, but emptiness to me seems very abstract.
Mm-hmm.
So to talk a bunch of those about this wide immaculate plane and giving birth with unlimited fertility. Anyway, but yeah, we're talking about how the next thought comes.
Well, to follow up, it made me think of in sitting sometimes, or just in during the day, it just sort of happens sometimes, to sort of that image of following the stream to its source. It's almost like following back through thoughts and preoccupations and concerns and so forth to a point of stillness and clarity that is very simple, and out of that beginning to notice things like the iris opening up, or that everything seems to start happening out of that stillness and that clarity.
Yeah, so our practice of zazen, of sitting for a day or a period, allows us to slow down a little and settle into a space where we can see these possibilities arising in everything. So, Dale, last thought.
I seem to be caught on this ancestor thing, but is the fundamental purity the ancestor?
Yes, is the fundamental purity the ancestor? Thank you.